Hey guys, just Tyrone here. Sorry about my voice. I'm getting over a cold. Just a reminder to give us a like and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Castbox or wherever you're listening to this episode of Modus Critica. It really helps us out and it helps us get the word out. But yeah, thank you so much for your continued support. Enjoy the episode.
Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Last time on Modus Critica. Our party made their way through the shops of Saint Elise, bartering as they went. Tork got a pipe. I want a pipe. Anyway, after they cleaned house, so to speak, they met up with the Muscle and his drink. That's me. And made their way to check in on Fluffy Bump Farm in the east. Along the way, they came across a young dragon duking it out with a couple of baddies. A Shadarkai and a Fomorian. After an intense battle, they continued on to Fluffy Bump Farm, where, in the midst of a raid, lay Cornelius's parents, lifeless on the ground.
Welcome to the 15th episode of Modus Critica, an actual play 5th edition D&D podcast. We are six nerdy nerds just nerding out around a nerdy table, throwing nerdy dice, and we are looking to role play, roll dice, and roll heads. Those six people are...
Hi, my name is Lyle Jerkenbottom, and... and I'll be playing Darius Adolfo, Mercule Extraordinaire. That's blasphemous. Wait, I'm a cleric of Mercule. Please do not smite me.
Hi, I'm Eric, and I play Cornelius, the soon-to-probably-be orphan, Herengon, druid. Zach, you're up!
Oh, God. This is the worst part of my week.
These 20 seconds right here.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Great, gnome illusionist of the group.
Just reach into the hat, pull out a couple words.
That's my turn.
Of the group.
Hi, I'm Sid, and I'll be playing Gord Godhand, the paladin barbarian of the group. You know, he cares a lot about family. If he hung out with Vin Diesel, they'd hit it off pretty well.
I think that's fair.
Family, bro.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Hi, I'm Caitlin, and I play Tork Tortellini, who is a pretty anxious 9-year-old turtle monk. And currently, Caitlin is also pretty anxious because I'm really wondering how we're all going to go at this episode today. If our intros have anything to
Hell
do
yeah,
with how
brother.
We're going to play.
And I'm Tyrone, your dirty dungeon master.
All right. Let's go, big boy.
And I'm here
End
to throw down.
There.
Okay, so you guys just...
Oh, we're keeping that. Amazing.
So you guys just defeated a young dragon and some of the Shadarkai, as well as some of these Fomorians that you'd heard about from the queen. You then made your way to the eastern forest where Cornelius's family resides. And as you guys made your way through the forest, you got to the property unseen, unheard, just to the river below the property, and you could see Cornelius, the somewhat lifeless bodies of your parents.
Now, when you say somewhat, like, is there like an arm moving?
No, you can't tell because you're too far away. And as you reach the clearing, you were met immediately with the source of the plumes of smoke, a burning water mill next to you in the river. Across from you, you see pigs, goats, and chickens running in terror, pen fences knocked down to the ground. Barn recently lit aflame as cloaked figures exit the double doors of the barn. Sitting in the center of the farm rests a crop field where larger figures are shoving various grown vegetables into large sacks. One standing aside, waiting, torch lit. On the east side of the farm, near the hut, there is a large pile of burning wood, debris, and crops. And that is where Cornelius' parents lay.
Oh.
It is rather smoky.
I am going to straight up run to what I think is my parents' bodies.
Quick, Torque, set your crossbows. We need to cover them.
Okie dokie.
I'll quickly run up ahead as well and just try and station myself on the right side of the bridge.
Okay.
Nevlin's going to take advantage of the relative calm before the storm and cast mage armor on himself.
Okay.
As I'm running, do I need to, like, roll perception or anything to see if I notice it beforehand?
I'm going
to
roll perception for them to see if they notice you.
Torque has run up to the bridge with Dario as well.
Gord's going to go, Damon, stick with me, and we'll head across the bridge.
So I want you guys to all roll initiative, and we'll just do this in that order. I will give you a surprise round first, and then we'll go to regular initiative.
All right, Dario Sadolfo rolls a 15.
Torque got a 14.
Gord rolled a 12.
With his advantage, Nevlin rolled a 21.
And last, but still last, Cornelius got a 10.
Spud rolled a 2, so he gets 6. As you run in, you can see that there are several Shadarkai, as well as several Fomorians. Roll me a perception check.
Ooh, that's actually pretty decent. I got a 22.
So on a 22, you can see that there are 3 Shadarkai mages, a couple Shadarkai fighters, and a Shadarkai thief. And there's also about 6 of the Fomorians.
Damn.
Awesome. Yeah, as that one Shadarkai starts to notice us, I'll motion to Damon and be like, Damon, let's tag team him and start moving towards him.
All right.
Okay, so, well, we'll start with Nevlin. So you cast... You ran up and cast mage armor on yourself. Was that the deal?
That was the deal. So Nevlin moves across the bridge 30 feet, catching up with Spud and Gord, and he's going to shoot a firebolt at... Where is Cornelius in relation to me? He's just ahead of me, right?
Yeah, he's about 20 feet ahead of you or so.
Okay, and he's running up to his parents who are... I'm going to shoot a firebolt at whatever is closest to his parents.
Okay, yeah, there is a Fomorian warrior right next to his parents.
Okay. Ah, shit, that's a 9.
Yeah, that's not going to hit.
Okay, so Nevlin shoots a firebolt beside that creature.
You shoot a firebolt into the fire.
Nice.
Then we're going to go with Dario.
All right, I'll also be running up behind behind Nevlin, and I'll get sort of just right behind him, but I'm going to shoot off to the right, hopefully over Gord's left shoulder, to shoot this Shatterkai dude over here.
Just to the south of the fire. That sounds good. Roll to hit.
And that is actually just a 9.
Oh, no.
9 will not do, Monfair.
Okay, dang it. And then as soon as my crossbow fires, I'll be like, piece of shit. And I'll throw it to the ground. And I'll go to take out my mace. And then that's it.
All right. Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, Torque will be like, don't worry, Thario, I'm coming. And he runs across the bridge as well, just to the other side. And he's going to take aim with his crossbow at the same Shatterkai dude that Dario tried to hit.
Okay, roll the hit.
Well, it's better than a 9, fellas. It's... a 19.
That will hit.
Sick.
Fantastic.
With honors.
Thank you.
Get them, Torque.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm getting them. And so Torque is going to deal 7 damage.
Nice. Yeah, you fire off a crossbolt and it yells out as it thuds into its chest.
Great. Love that.
See, sometimes I save those and I put them in the thing, so you'll periodically will hear your own voice as like different enemies being like or
that's perfect.
Yeah. Alright, next in the order is going to be Gord Godhand.
Gord makes a calculation and runs up to the Shatterkai as crossbow bolts fly past his shoulder, takes out his glaive and takes a rough hard swing using his reckless attack.
All right, roll the hit.
10.
Oh, 10 does not hit. I'm sorry, bro.
Getting all the bad rolls out. Getting them all, you know, cleaning house. With a bonus action, he'll spit on the guy.
Yeah.
Nice. Bonus.
Yeah, get them, Gord.
Probably falls and drools down his face because of his bad roll.
Oh, it's one of those stringy ones.
Flies out 3 inches from your face and curls back onto your chin.
Nice.
Okay, you spit on him, and it hits him right in the cheek, and he kind of wipes it off. He's like, ugh.
Never mind the crossbow at his chest. He's like, oh, God, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Now he has COVID.
And it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
No, 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 no!
And I run up, and as I'm running, I summon my wildfire spirit, and, you know, he looks like Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
We've already stated that, but what it actually is that when he comes into existence, he actually looks like a golden flower blooming before he takes his humanoid shape, so it is a gold bloom. So his name from now will be Gold Bloom.
Cute.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm gonna have Goldblum pop up next to this motherfucker standing by my parents.
Yep.
So right then, that guy needs to make a dex save. DC 14.
He rolled an 18.
Okay, so nothing happens to him.
It's time to burn them.
I'm gonna continue running up to Goldblum. And then that'll conclude my turn. And for Goldblum's turn, I'm going to have them cast Fiery Teleportation, which will the wildfire spirit and each willing creature of your choice within 5 feet of it teleport up to 15 feet to unoccupied space that you can see. Then each creature within 5 feet of the space that the spirit left must succeed on a dex save. So if you want to roll another dex save, yep. DC 14.
So he rolled a 2. So he fails.
So that's going to be 6 plus my proficiency bonus. So 8 fire damage. And then, yeah, me and Goldblum move like 15 feet away.
So as you guys teleport out of existence in a flamey willow wisp explosion, this Fomorian puts his arm up in front of his face. The flames just like push into his face and burn the side of his face for 8 damage.
And I'm fucking angry.
Rightfully so. Okay. Then it's going to be Spud. Spud is going to follow suit, and he is going to run directly up towards the Shadow Archai fighter that is in front of Gord, below the fire, next to Cornelius' parents. As he's running, he draws both of his short swords, and he runs in with his battle cry and takes 2 swings at this motherfucker. Oh, that's a natty one, guys.
Oh, no, Spud!
Well, you know, it's got to happen sometime.
Classic Spud.
15 plus 6 is going to hit. So since I rolled the natty one first, I'll roll a d6 and see what happens.
So should we just start rolling new characters now?
Wait 10 minutes.
So he rolled a 6, so pick up 6. As he runs with his first swing, he goes to swing, and he accidentally just lets loose his sword, and his sword flies about 15 feet behind a guy kind of next to the fire as it rockets out of his hands. But with his next one, he comes in swinging and slices directly into the Shadarkai fighter, dealing in total 7 damage.
Not bad.
As he slashes into this Shadarkai fighter. And that's going to be Spud's turn. Then it's going to be top of the round. It's going to start off with one of the Fomorian warriors.
Warrior.
It's going to be one of the Fomorian warriors. Sorry. The Fomorian... This is like a...
Fomorians.
That's really cute. That's what
that's
it is, though.
More Fomorians.
Fomorians, warriors. Yeah.
We can just call them the Fomorians.
Yeah, there you go.
So one of the Fomorian warriors, the one that was actually by the field, not bagging vegetables, but the one that was holding the torch, is there. And it sees all of this as you guys rush up from the south, and he is going to move his way directly into the battle as he drops his torch and draws his sword. He moves forward 30 feet, so... he is actually going to move, he's going to dash, and he's going to move directly down to you, Cornelius, but that's going to be his action, and then it's going to be Nevlin.
So having run across the bridge, Nevlin, I guess, is now looking at Cornelius and his fire guy.
Goldblum.
Yeah, okay. Cornelius and Goldblum are in combat, as well as Gord and Spud.
Yes, that is the truth.
who's fighting the least amount of enemies here?
Everyone.
Gord and Spud are fighting one foe, and Cornelius has about four in front of him, within 30 feet or so.
Okay, so Nevlin's going to move up a little bit. He's going to try to find some cover.
Cheese wagons make really good cover.
For those of you listening at home, there are wagons scattered across this farm. There's obviously some wells and trees and stuff around. So yeah, you find a nice cheese wagon to duck behind there, Nevlin.
Nevlin ducks behind the cheese wagon, and I think for now he's just going to fire off another firebolt at the Formorian that's engaged with Cornelius.
Okay, sounds good. Roll to hit.
That's an 18.
That's going to hit.
And, max damage, 10 damage.
Nice. You unleash your fire magic, and it rips out of your robes, the arms of your robes, and this flame just curls through the air and smashes into it, leaving its face definitely tarnished and a little bit ashen.
Yeah, take that, Yagli Fomorian son of a bitch.
And that's going to be your turn?
Yeah, that's my turn.
All right, next is going to be one of the Shadarkai fighters. This beast of a Shadarkai is standing on the far side of the crop field, and he's going to also dash in directly towards you, Cornelius.
Bring it.
That's as far as he makes
it. Come at me, foe!
He runs directly across the field, and he's about 10 feet or so away from you, but that's going to be his turn. Then, off in the distance, to the north, somewhat close to the entrance to Cornelius' parents' tree, I guess, their tree fort.
It's a den. Like, they live underneath.
Tree den, right, underneath it, yeah. So, just out front of there.
They did live underneath it.
You see this mage.
Now they're dead above it.
Swirling his
hand. And they're going to go underneath it again.
They might be sleeping, okay? He's swirling his hands together as three magic missiles fly out of his robes and seemingly from nowhere. One of them is going to hit you, Cornelius. One is going to hit Spud, and one is going to hit Gord. I'll roll that damage right now. So, Cornelius, you take 4 damage. Spud's going to take 5 damage. And Gord, you can take 3 damage. The mage is going to back up a few feet from the fire again. And then off to the northwest of the farm, there are a couple more mages near the barn that is on fire. And one of them starts casting. You see him disappear from thin air and reappears just above the crop field. As a bonus action, he casts Misty Step. With his full action, he's going to cast Firebolt directly at you, Cornelius.
Okay.
And he rolled a nat 20.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
So you're going to take max plus rolled, so that's going to be 10 damage plus 8 damage for 18 damage.
I feel shit.
Dope.
Jeez.
Except for the emotional pain that you're experiencing.
I just felt a little bit of emotional pain right now. Okay, and that's going to be his turn, and then it's going to be the Shadarkai thief's turn, and the thief is going to move down towards Goldbloom, and he is going to attack Goldbloom. As you can see, it's some kind of fire spirit. He's going to multi-attack it, so with his short sword. First one's going to be a dirty 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
And the second one is going to be an 11 to hit.
That is a miss.
All right, so he's going to take 1d6 plus 4 damage. That's going to be 6 slashing damage.
Awesome.
And that's going to be his turn. It is then going to be another of the Fomorian warriors.
You're getting good at saying that, buddy.
I know. This one's up near the barn as well, just on the outskirts of the fence that him and his buddy just totally kicked down and sent the animals off running. He is going to dash and move in towards everybody else that is starting to surround Cornelius. And that's going to be his turn, as a dash will be his action. Then it's going to be Dario's turn.
Dario Sedalfo.
So I run up quickly, taking out my shield. Along the way, I'm like, Cornelius, we have to do something. They're all running in at the same time. I look off into my right as I'm running up, and I cast Toll the Dead on the warrior that Gord and Spud are currently engaged with off far to the right of us.
And
the,
yeah,
bells, the bell tolls as I hold the amulet of Mercule, and I'm like, kill him with your dolorous tones. I don't have time for this, Mercule. Do it. and then he has to make a wisdom saving throw, DC 13, and I hope he fails.
I will tell you what his wisdom saving throw is. He gets a plus 1. He rolled an 8, Kyle. He failed his wisdom
saving throw. Yeah, fuck that guy.
All right, then. Boom. As
as the bells fill his mind, and he takes... Did he already take damage prior to my casting of the spell?
He actually did take damage, yes.
Then I will roll a d12.
Yeah.
He's gonna take 3 epic damage.
3? That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah. He sees his head just rocking back and forth as these dolorous tones just smash between his skull. And he's slightly annoyed for a brief moment.
Ow!
And the battle continues.
Yeah, and then I stand in behind and I wait for all these enemies to come rushing in and crush my skull.
All right.
It's going to happen.
Is that going to be your turn?
That is my turn.
All right, then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, excellent. So just after this Shatterkai guy, or girl, the Shatterkai, is being told by the bells, Torque is going to also run up to them, and he's going to just run past Gord and Spud here, and he's going to roll his eyes at Spud and give him this very dramatic, superfluous look, and and he's gonna go in and he's gonna try and stab this guy with his short sword. He dropped his crossbow back there by the bridge, and he's got his short sword in hand.
Okay, so roll the hit.
Oh, it's a 16.
That's gonna hit.
Oh, fuck yeah, bro. So that'll be 8 damage with his short sword.
Yeah, you drop your crossbow, you run in towards him. You side-eye Gord and then menacingly side-eye Spud as you come in and slash into this thing.
Yeah, superfluously, yeah.
Yeah.
That was really a necessary torque. I thought you were over you and Damon's
issues. It was a little
bit
over the top, but that's who I am. And how does this guy look? Is he, like, not feeling good?
No, he looks pretty hurt.
Okay, well, Torque is also going to use one of his key points. So normally his face is very tensed and anxious and frantic looking, but for, I don't know, maybe like a second and a half, all of a sudden he becomes very zen and peaceful.
Centered?
Centered, yeah, good word. He uses a key point to use Flurry of Blows as his bonus action. So now he gets to make 2 unarmed strikes with his turtle claws against this son of a bitch.
Do it up. Sick. Roll to hit.
Well, that first one was a 14.
Just let me double check that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it hits, though.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, I told you. That first one will be 8 damage.
All right. Yeah, you slash across him with your turtle claws.
Oh, fuck. Damn. And then that's a 21 for the second one.
Definite hit.
So that'll be 7.
7 damage. Yeah, you slash into him yet again. This time, seriously breaking the skin. He's bleeding quite heavily now as he staggers. Is that going to be your turn then?
Yes, thank you.
All right, and then it's going to be another one of the Formorian warriors that was near Cornelius to begin with. He is going to move down and attack you, Dario.
Come at me, you thing. You disgusting visage of a monster.
Yeah, tell him, Dario. Get him.
Ah, thanks, Torn. Thanks for
He's going to multi-attack you. He's going to...
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's going to multi-attack you twice with his scimitar and once with his dagger in his right hand.
Okay,
so the first one is going to be a 16 to hit. So the first one's going to hit. Second one is a 14, so that's going to miss. And his dagger hit is a natty 1, so we'll deal with that after. I'm going to roll the damage for the first scimitar hit. Okay. That's going to be 1d6 plus 3 damage. So you're going to take 5 slashing damage from his first scimitar blow.
Oh, it's just like a scimitar.
Then he's going to come around with a second, and he misses entirely with the second. And then when he comes in with his dagger, he overshoots it, and he actually trips over his own foot, and he falls to the ground prone.
Ah, your big stupid feet.
Yeah, you're so dumb.
So that is going to be his turn, because he's already used his movement. Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord, just behind Damon and Torque, seeing Torque's conflict, his superfluous conflict, is going to recklessly take his glaive after raging, because he's just like, come on, Torque. And if Torque looked zen, at this moment, Gord looks even more zen. because he is now in the power zone, and he is going to whip that glaive right down in between Damon and Torque, right onto the Shatterkai's head. Hopefully. Hey, that'll hit. 22.
22 hits for sure.
All right. 15 damage.
Whew. So you do just that, and the glaive slices through the air and then continues on into his skull as you watch his body entirely sever in half as your glaive makes its way through his body. And it starts to slowly slip away from each side as it falls to the ground in two pieces, a leg and an arm and a half a head on each side.
Perfect. Gord gets this giddy little smirk on his face, looks at both Damon and Torque, and says, "Put this shit aside and let's go fuck some shit up,"
he says to the 9-year-old boys.
Okay, Gord, wow, you really glaive it to him.
Bazinga.
Thank you. Thank you.
With that, Gord will run right up to the Filmorian that Dario is beside.
Okay.
And he'll say to Dario, "Don't worry, we'll get them all."
I hope so.
And that's his turn.
Be the very best.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, we're listening nothing but the Pokemon theme song while we're in battle on World 20. Okay, and that's going to be your turn, Gord.
Yeah.
Then the last mage up near the burning fire of the barn, he moves down closer towards his friend or comrade or whatever near the gate to the barn just above the field. Yeah, coworker. I like it. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Charles. How you doing today? Yeah, pretty good. Just going to try and slay some PCs here. Yeah, well, good luck to you, and I hope your death is quick when it comes.
Yeah.
And he is going to continue to move forward, so he's going to use the dash action and get up closer to some of his other co-workers. That's going to be his turn. Then it is going to be the Formorian that was right next to the fire near Cornelius. And he is going to move down around the fire towards Spud, and he's going to roll a dexterity saving throw as he walks past the fire to make sure he doesn't get burned. And he rolls a nat 20. He makes it through the flames very quickly and manages to not be lit aflame and comes down to Spud, where he will multi-attack twice with the scimitar, once with the dagger. First one is a miss with a 2. That one actually might hit. 13 plus 5 is 18. That second scimitar does connect, and then his dagger is also a hit. So he's going to roll his 1d6 plus 3 for the slashing damage. Min damage, that's going to be 4 slashing damage from the scimitar, and 1d4 plus 3 for the dagger, and that's going to be 6 piercing damage from the dagger. So 7 damage total as he slashes into Spud and then stabs him in the groin. Or what would be his groin?
His mushy center.
Yes. Then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Oh, no. I'm going to take the cry action. Sorry, that was a little insensitive.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
Cornelius, you big baby.
Well, so here's what's going to happen. Cornelius is going to cast Scorching Ray. He's going to cast it at the individual to my left, the individual in front of me, and the individual farther up behind the trail of blood.
Okay. So the two of the Formorian warriors and the Shatterkai thief.
Okay, so the Formorian next to me, so that's going to be 17 to hit on the first one, the guy closest to me.
That is a hit.
14 to hit the Shatterkai.
That is not a hit.
And then I'm going to assume that a 9 is also a miss on the last one.
Yes.
Okay, so that first one, though, it's going to take 5 fire damage.
Okay.
And then I am going to move up next to Dario.
Yep.
And I'm going to say, "Do you trust me?"
Yes, do what you have to do.
And then my wildfire spirit is going to disengage from the Shadar Kai, and then using the rest of his movement, move in between, and he's going to teleport me and Dario away, and I will need all three of those individuals there that are around him to roll dex saves.
Okay, Formarian Warrior first. That's a fail. The Shadar Kai Fighter, that is also, what's the save on it, you said? 16?
14.
Nope, that's not going to do it. And the last Fomorian Warrior is also a fail as a 2. So,
nice.
Okay, so it's going to be 1d6 plus 2. It's a 6 plus 2.
For 8 damage.
8 fire damage each.
Yeah, as you move away from this giant pile of warriors surrounding you, the flame from Goldbloom just bursts and erupts into the faces of all of these three creatures as they take a massive blow of fire damage. Was that going to be your turn?
Yeah.
All right. The Fomorian warrior that is in the middle of the field bagging up all these vegetables drops the bag and begins to run in towards you guys.
Drops the bag? Clean up in aisle 4.
And they're going to be bruised now.
It's going to be his turn. Actually, he's going to throw 2 daggers at you, Dario.
I bring up my coffin-shaped shield.
So that's going to be 16 to hit for the first one.
That's on my armor class.
And the second one's a nat 20.
Oh,
he
God.
Fucking cranks
oh
me with it.
Oh, my God.
My rolls are with me tonight. So you're going to take, for the first hit, it's max. So you're going to take 7 damage. On the first dagger, the second one hits you, and you're going to take 7 plus 5 for 12 damage. 19 damage total.
So he cranks my shield just off to the side a little bit, and then the dagger slips by and, like, hits me right in the neck.
Yeah.
This could be it.
I'm finally getting worried.
So, Spud stands proudly as Gord runs away. As Gord, sorry, moves over to his next target. And
there was nobody around us.
Spud looks at this crazy amount of foes before him, and he throws his swords up in the air and then slices them down just as he did in the Court of Stars, creating that shing sound. And the echo of the sword shing blasts through the forest as you hear this drake come ripping in on foot.
Torek looks reluctantly impressed. And jealous.
Not superfluous this time?
No, he's like just the right amount.
Of perfluous?
Yeah, he's just fluous.
This drake comes ripping in to the Fomorian warrior directly in front of Spud and moves up behind it so that him and Dario are both flanking this thing, and he'll roll his bite attack at advantage.
Do it.
And that is going to be plus 3 to hit.
Come on, Draco.
Is a 15, which is on nice. The Fomorian Warrior's armor class, so it will hit. So the Fomorian Warrior is going to take 1d6 plus 2 damage for max damage. So the Fomorian Warrior takes 8 piercing damage as the drake chomps into its arm.
How big is the drake?
It's a medium-sized creature at this point. It will grow bigger okay. into a dragon eventually.
Damn.
Just depends on how many albums he sells.
Oh.
He'll
be okay. Platinum one day.
And then with that, it's going to be the last Fomorian Warrior's turn. Charles by the fence there. Charles straightens his tie and grabs his briefcase and begins running towards the other guy.
Have you heard about all the extra deductions they're going to put on our paychecks?
Yeah.
Now they're taxing our tax.
We don't get paid enough for this.
All right, then it's going to be top of the round. The second Fomorian warrior, he's going to come down and he's going to continue to attack Goldbloom. So the first one with the scimitar is a 4 plus 5. The second one he rolls a nat 1, so let's just do a quick 5-6 pick up sticks. He comes at Goldbloom with his sword and just kind of like hits the flame, and the flame shoots this light off of it, reflection as he lets go his scimitar. And actually, from where he is, it's going to fly. Yeah, it lands just directly beside the fire. So he does come at it with his dagger as well. and that is a 9 plus 5 for 13 to hit on Goldblum.
That's his AC.
Okay, so he's going to take 1d4 plus 3 piercing damage, if that's even possible. I mean, he's a spirit. I guess he has some sort of body. He's going to take 6 piercing damage, and then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Nevlin's going to reposition himself. He's going to start running to the east, and he runs about 30 foot to his east, getting sort of behind our fighting line again. And as he's running, he's sort of fumbling through his side bag, and he ends up in almost a baseball slide as he pulls this piece of parchment out of his bag and lays it on the ground in front of him, reaches one hand forward, pointing at this cluster of enemies behind his begrudged allies, and starts reading from this scroll. And as he does, this pressure builds up behind that line of enemies as a fireball begins to develop.
Nice.
He's aiming it 20 feet behind the guy who's engaged with Gord, which I believe will hit most of the things that we're concerned about. So, because this is a spell that Nevlin is not a high enough level to cast, he does have to make a DC 13 spellcasting check.
Okay.
It's an 18 plus 7, 25, yeah. I believe.
So he passes?
He passes. So...
Motherfucker broke the test.
Everybody in that radius needs to pass a dexterity saving throw against a DC of 15.
Okay, I'll do it. Starting with the guy who's in the farm, and we'll go counterclockwise from there. So the first guy failed. The second guy fails. Third guy... he fails. Jesus. 10 fail. Fuck. Okay. That guy... oh, it's a pass. Those guy... it's a fail. And the fighter is a 12 plus... 3 for 15. Is that a pass? 15?
15 is the DC.
Okay, so there's 2 passes and 5 fails. So you go ahead and roll that damage.
So it's 32 damage to everybody who did not pass that test. And half to everybody
for the others. Okay, all right.
You may
so
have just saved our lives.
This fireball explodes, and everyone standing in that vicinity, for the most part, is completely rocked. Most of them are left standing still, but the Shadar Kai fighter that was the nearest Gord just continues to burn as you see him run away screaming on fire. His body drops in the empty field of this farm and fizzles out. He dies.
Good job, Nevlin.
Yeah, I gotta remember that one.
Is that gonna be your turn, Nevlin?
Yeah, that'll about do it.
Okay. you did serious damage. So then it is going to be the Shadar Kai that's up near Cornelius' parents' den. Again, starts to swirl his hands in the air. And as you guys see this flashing glyph in the air, 3 magic missiles fire out. One will hit Cornelius, one will hit Dario, one will hit Spud directly to the south of him. And I will roll that damage up now. Cornelius, oh no. You are going to take 2 damage. Dario, you are going to take 4 damage, and Spud is going to take 4 damage as well, as these missiles impact each one of you. And Spud drops to a knee, but stands up again. Does not look very good at all. That's going to be that mage's turn as he stays there. The mage that moved in closer is going to take a running start at towards you, Gord, and he is going to cast Suggestion. So you need to make a Wisdom saving throw, please.
That's a nat 20 on the Wisdom saving throw.
All right, that's an automatic
My
success.
My mind is a steel case
yes.
of emotion
yeah.
and pain and turmoil. And right now in my rage form, there's nothing preventing me from just wrecking.
Okay, yeah. He tries to enter your mind to suggest something to you, and he meets a steel wall. He bangs on it once or twice, but can't get through as...
I just wanted to let you know about your car's extended warranty. Let me fuck in.
That's exactly what it was, yeah.
With that, the mage looks defeated. And then it's going to be the thief's turn.
Well, yeah, he lost a commission.
The thief runs directly down to you, Cornelius, and he is going to multi-attack with his short sword. We have 11 plus 7 for 18 to hit on the first one.
Yeah, to hit.
5 plus 7 for 12 on the second.
That's a miss.
And the third is the same, so two misses. So he's going to take that 1d6 plus 4 damage for the one attack. And that's min damage, so you're going to take 5 slashing damage. As he comes in, hits you with the first one across your chest, and then misses with the second, and then the third. With that, it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, so I got hit a bunch of times, and I'm, like, starting to bleed heavily. I got that dagger in my neck, and I'm like, I can't. I disengage after looking at the Formorian behind us, and I kind of move off to the side next to Nevlin. And then I grip the amulet of Mercule, and I'll just be like, please, please bring me back. I have to protect my friends. And I cast Cure Wounds on myself at second level. Let's see here. Let's see if I manage to do it. 8 for the first one and 5 for the next one. So I'll heal myself up for 13 hit points, which brings me up to 20. Yeah, and then I will use the rest of my movement to get back into line, pretty much.
Okay.
The dagger, like, pops out, and then it kind of heals over into a pink fleshy line on my neck, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. And that'll be my turn.
And then you move forward.
Yeah, I move slightly forward, like next to Goldbloom.
Okay, sounds good. Then at that, it's going to be some more Formorian warriors' turns. So the Formorian warrior that just got blasted with some of the fireball that's standing just kind of off to the side of Cornelius' parents looks suddenly rage-filled, and he runs directly down and through his coworker. Yeah. Down to you, Gord.
Yeah.
Down to you, Gord, and he's going to attack thricely, twice with his scimitar and once with his dagger.
Perfect, and he'll have advantage on those as well.
Because you reckless attacked, yeah?
Oh, you know it.
Well, the first one with advantage is going to hit. That's like a 17 plus 5, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is only a 12 plus 5, 17. I don't know what your AC is when you're...
That will hit. My AC is 13.
And with his dagger, 16 plus 5
enough.
As well. Yeah. So, okay, first off, you're going to take 2d6 plus 6 damage for the scimitar. So that's 7 plus 6 for 13 damage with the scimitar as he slashes in once and then again cross-hatched. Then with his dagger, he comes in for a stab, dealing max dagger damage, which is going to be 4 plus 3 for 7 more damage.
So 20 damage total, halved to 10 because I'm raging.
So that's going to be his turn. Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
So for the first time in his relationship with Spud, Torque actually looks over at Spud with a look of concern. So he moves towards Spud and he goes up to who's the big beefy boy that's engaged with Spud? Is he a Formorian warrior?
Yeah, he's a Formorian.
So
Formorian
warrior? Yeah, that's what I said. So Torque's gonna go towards that guy. So now he's flanked. Okay. With Cornelius there. He's going to look at Spud. Yes. With concern, and then he's going to look over next to him to the drake, and then he'll remember, oh, man, that thing looks so cool. And then he's going to try and attack the Fomorian warrior with his short sword.
Yeah, okay, roll the hit.
Okay, and he actually rolled a 2 plus 7, so that's a 9.
Yeah, that's not going to hit.
Okay, he's gonna try again with his turtle claws for his bonus action.
Okay, go ahead.
14.
That's gonna just miss.
Damn! Oh. Shit, I really needed that. Oh no. Okay, well, he's misses and he's gonna stand his ground.
All right, and then that's the end of your turn. The Fomorian warrior that fell prone stands up and he's going to attack you, Gord. He's pretty rageful, so he's just going to swing blindly at you. First one, oh, that's a miss. That's a 2 plus 5. Second one is an 18 plus 5 for 23 to hit. I'm assuming is a hit, yeah. And the dagger hit is a 19 plus 5. So you're going to take another 1d6 plus 3 damage for the scimitar. That's going to be 9 damage. And then you'll take another 1d4 plus 3 for 6 damage for a total of 15 damage.
Have to 8.
As he slashes into you with his scimitar and then manages to just find a space between the chinks of your armor as he breaks the skin. But then it is going to be your turn, Gord.
Excellent. In the back of my mind, there's like a little twinkle. And
evil twinkle?
Just a little twinkle. Ooh. Evil, good. Yeah. What's the difference?
Yeah. A twinkle's a twinkle.
He's going to throw back at the Filmorian that just attacked him, the Filmorian warrior. Recklessly, of course.
For warrior.
That's a 24 to hit.
That's going to do it, bro.
Get him!
Hit him, hit him, hit him.
Hit him, hit him, hit him.
Nice. 22 damage.
Okay, yeah. So you slash out at this guy with your glaive, and you catch him on the throat, and at this point, he is holding his throat shut. As you've ripped the skin, you've slashed the skin open, and he knows he's losing a lot of blood. You see his face start to go pale, and he stands there kind of in shock in front of you, again, holding his neck closed.
Perfect. And,
You really thought that was I'm funny, Tyrone, didn't you?
That twinkle in Gord's brain is just so happy. And he's actually going to disengage from them and step back to admire his work.
Okay.
And then he's going to look at the two Filmorians who were in front of him and just do the Neo gesture. You know, the come on.
Oh, yeah.
Sick.
And that'll be Gord's turn.
Okay. Well, just as you back away, you see three magic missiles burst forth from the arms of one of the mages up at the top of the field, and they smash into you.
So tired of these mages.
And their magic missile.
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna take
fucking mages.
Only like magic missile when it's on our side.
You're gonna take 12 damage.
All right.
Of the bludgeoning variety.
Excellent.
And that mage is going to stay where he is.
Imagine that.
Who are you? Who are you today?
I told you I was really tired today, okay? This
the
is what happened.
The next in the order is the Formorian warrior directly in front of Spud, and he's going to make three attacks. The first one is a hit. The second one is a miss. And the third one is also a miss.
Oh my god.
But Spud is going to take 1d6 plus 3 damage for the slash from the scimitar. And he comes in hard. You see a puff of spores come out of Spud as he falls down to his knees and falls forward on his face, slowly looking up at you, Tork, and says, "Avenge me." And he falls unconscious.
Tork's eyes narrow and he gives a nod.
Okay, as the Formorian shifts its gaze to you, Tork, that's going to be the end of his turn. It is then going to be Cornelius' turn.
Okay, so Cornelius is actually going to disengage from the Formorian warrior and move into the same spot as my fire guy. Can I do that?
Yeah, you can totally do it, but you can't end your turn there.
No, I can't. So I am going to cast Burning Hands. It's a 15-foot cone, and I'm sending it in this direction, so I don't know if it's going to hit all four of these guys or not.
Yep.
Okay, so each creature needs to make a dex save. DC 14.
One pass, one fail, two fail.
Okay, so 9, 10, 11 damage for the ones that failed, and then 6 damage for the one that passed. All fire damage.
Okay, well, as you blast this cone fire out of your hands into these Formorian warriors, you see the last one that Gord was facing off with just fucking drop.
Dead?
Oh, yeah, he's dead and lit on fire.
Good.
It actually lights the cheese wagon on fire as well, and it smells delicious now.
I bet it does. Yeah.
Fondue.
Nachos start spilling out.
Yeah.
No, my queso!
And so Goldblum's going to move forward, and then he's going to teleport the two of us out of here.
Okay.
Down to there. All three of those guys need to make a dex save. 14.
Pass. Fail. Fail.
Okay, so the two that failed both take 7 fire damage.
Okay.
Sick.
The one on the top, as the flames burst forth and you're teleported 15 feet down, he's not looking so hot. His face is super burnt up.
He looks really hot.
He looks very hot.
I would disagree.
Other buddy, not so bad.
This is hot for Morian summer right now.
Jesus Christ.
The northernmost, closest to your parents, is not looking so hot. Is that going to be your turn, Cornelius?
Yes.
Then it's going to be the first Formorian warrior's turn. He's going to come directly down to both you and Goldbloom, and he's going to attack Goldbloom.
Right the fuck on.
So 17 plus 5 for the first.
Yeah, that's a hit.
17 plus 5 for the second. It's a hit.
It's a hit.
And 11 plus 5 for 16 for the third with his dagger.
Yeah, it's a hit.
Okay, so he's going to take 2d6 plus 6 damage from the scimitar. So that's going to be 6 plus 6 is 12 slashing damage. And then he's going to take 1d4 plus 3.
Stop it! Stop it, he's already dead!
Okay. Yeah, his last dagger goes right through.
Life finds its end.
Goldbloom just poofs out of existence, and you're left with no spirit. That's the Formorian warrior's turn is done, and then it's going to be Spud's turn. He's going to roll it. Spud rolls a success on his first death saving throw.
Oh no, Spud.
Spud's drake actually continues on, even though he's incapacitated. And she is, I did not mention this actually, but she is a blue drake, so her essence is ice. Anyway, she is going to bite the Formorian that just attacked Spud, and that's going to hit. That's a 16 plus, so 16 plus 5, so 21 is still a hit. And then it's going to take 1d6 plus 2 max damage, so 8 damage, as the fifth Morian warrior realizes that things aren't looking so favorable for everyone anymore. And then it's going to be the sixth Formorian warrior's turn. And he's going to run down directly towards you, Gord. And he's going to make an attack. Three attacks, I should say.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
That's a crit miss on that first hit with a scimitar. And pickup sticks. Six pickup sticks. He throws his scimitar directly past you.
Idiot.
Oh, we crit fail.
And with that, he will not be able to make a second attack with it, but he will make a third with his dagger and try for that. And that one's a 19 plus 5 to hit.
Yeah.
In which case... Oh, I'll roll my advantage just in case. Nope. So you're going to take 1d4 plus 3. So you're going to take 6 piercing damage.
Perfect. Down to
as
3.
He stabs in somewhere. Somewhere in between your armor.
As he does, I hold his arm as the dagger's inside of me, and I'm like, you're not getting out of here.
Fierce.
Oh, shit.
All right, and then it's going to be the second Formorian warrior. He has no scimitar, so he is going to go pick his scimitar up, which is right next to the fire. So he will have to move around, and he's going to have to roll a dexterity saving throw to not get hit by the fire. He does just fine. He makes it right through and grabs his scimitar.
What a fucker.
He picks up his scimitar, and then he is going to multi-attack the drake. First one's a miss. Second one's a miss. What the fuck? The third one's a miss. Not even a hit with his dagger. So awesome. He misses with all three. One, and then the second, and then the third against the drake. And that's going to be his turn, and it's going to be Nevlin Thrice Great.
Evelyn's going to move back about 15 feet, cozy up underneath this tree to his east, and he's going to fire off 3 magic missiles, one respectively at each of the cluster of Formorians in front of Gord.
You got it, man.
Love magic missiles when they're on our side.
Ooh, that is 2 damage to the first Formorian, 5 to the second, 2 to the third.
All right.
Pachoo, pachoo, pachoo.
That's the sound that makes.
I'm using it.
And that is the end of my turn.
The magic missiles, pew, 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 smash, smash, smash. And then it's going to be the mage's turn again. We will call him the Den Wizard.
Oh.
The Den Wizard?
Well, because he's near the den. We'll call him the Den Mage.
Fucking Den Mage.
Den Mage. This mage, he takes a couple steps forward, and
he starts
moving his hands together and hurls a flaming ball through the giant pile of flaming debris at the drake just on the other side of the fire. And that's going to hit. That's an 18 plus 6 for whatever, 24, I think. So that's going to take 1d10 fire damage. Spud's drake. Jarlin is going to take 1d10 fire damage from this mage. 8 fire damage, to be exact. The second mage, the field mage, is going to fire off the same fire bolt towards you, Gord. That's going to be 17 to hit. And you're going to take 1d10 fire damage. That's max damage for 10 fire damage.
Oh my god!
Gord's hand slacks on the Fomorian's arm and then tightens twice as hard as his breath comes to him and he's like, and he looks over at the mage and says, you're next after this fudger.
Classic Gord.
He went from like, let's go fuck some shit up to like, this fudging guy is going down.
Yeah, yeah. The blood cry is starting to really drain from him at this moment.
Okay. Kill this melon farmer.
Then it's going to be the Shadowcat Thief's turn after that mage. And the thief moves around Spud's lifeless body. And yes, we'll take a attack of opportunity from Nevlin. You can go ahead and roll that now.
Ooh, right on.
Oh my god.
Give him a little stabby stab as he comes by. Oh yeah, buddy. That is a 30-20 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Your knife skills come in clutch, like almost usually. It's crazy.
So that is a 6 damage. Hell yeah.
As the thief runs by, yeah, you flick your knife out and you catch him in the Achilles tendon.
Ew, gross. That's literally my nightmare. Oh my god.
And he stumbles a sec, but he regains his footing and he runs. Ugh. He runs around the other side of Utorc. And now with his advantage, he's going to attack you with sneak attack damage.
Oh, because he's a fucking thieving thief.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a 13 God. Plus 7 to hit, so dirty 20 to hit.
Oh, no. I'm going to die. Oh, no.
He doesn't have his short sword, so he's going to only have his dagger, but he is going to roll. So 7 piercing damage to start. And then 7.
Oh my god.
13,
I'm already dead.
Sneak attack damage. Yeah, so you guys all see Torque fall unconscious after this thief is there.
Oh no.
And
oh,
that's going to be the thief's turn. Then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right. Well, yeah, I see Torque go down. I was already looking at Spud, and then I look over and I see Gordon and I'm like, "Oh no.
Spud, sprout again!"
As I cast Spare the Dying at distance, I can do that as a cleric for my Grave Domain type.
Right, right.
So I bring Spud back to consciousness. How bad do the Fomorians look up where Spud and Torque are?
Everyone is looking pretty hurt, except the mages.
Except for the mages, fuck those mages.
Fucking mages.
I run up north behind Cornelius and beside Spud and in front of the cheese wagon. And I go and smash that Fomorian in the back of his fucking head.
Yes.
Roll the hit.
And that's going to be... Oh, actually, I think I might have done it. Yeah, that's an 18.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
So then I smash him in the back of the head. Oh, please. And I do 5 bludgeoning damage. For the glory of Mercule.
Nice. Yeah, you smoke him in the back of the head. He definitely turns around now.
Oh, shit.
And he's facing me.
It's looking bleak, and I'm thinking this is our last. we're not gonna survive this, and that'll be the end of my turn.
Then it's gonna be the fourth Fomorian warrior. He's gonna come down and attack you, Gord. That's a nat 20 on the first hit.
Oh yeah, fuck, you're out.
Oh my god, what are we gonna do?
How much damage total?
Okay, so the first crit would be 9. So 9, 13 for the first. Second one would be 9, 16. And the third one would be 9, 12, and 15. So that's probably not your max HP, no?
137, nope.
Alright, so you guys see us Gord. Drops unconscious.
Gets brutally stabbed on the way down.
Ah, I will never surrender. Oh, wait. I gotta take a nap, guys. Sorry.
That's so brutal. Yeah, this guy comes in, lays in hard to Gord again and again and again. And Gord just hits the ground and is not moving. And then it's gonna be Torque's turn. Can you please roll me your first death saving throw?
I guess so. Oh my god. Everyone blow on the dice. Okay, thank you. Oh my god, I'm so nervous. It's a 6.
All right.
Oh, first fail.
That's one fail. You want to jot that down on your character sheet?
No, I kind of would prefer to forget about it, but I guess, yeah, I'll write it down.
Okay, Gord, it is now your turn. Can you please roll me your first death saving throw?
That's a 4.
Oh my god!
That's a 4? All right. Then it's going to be the 5th Fomorian warrior. Seeing that Spud is back up, is going to lash out at Spud again. And that's a miss. 2 misses with his scimitar. And a 13 plus 5. Is that going to hit it? Yeah, actually, that will hit him. So, he's dead again.
Oh, my God.
Spud falls down and is knocked unconscious. And then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Okay. Cornelius is going to move around in their threat range. He's then going to bunny hop out of the way so as to not provoke an opportunity of attack from these fuck-bob. Ugh, I fucking hate them.
The fuck-morians? So right
yeah.
The fuck-morians. I pointed at him and I say, hey, I wasn't fucking done. And I once again cast Burning Hands directly at the 3 of them.
Okay.
And if they could all make...
I'll do that. Pass. Fail. I'm going to pass.
Okay, so that's going to be 15. So the one gets a 15, and the other gets an 8
mm-hmm.
fire damage.
All right, and you blast fire out of your hands, and as you do that, you severely burn at least 2 of those guys. One of them kind of screams like Will Ferrell in Austin Powers.
Sweet.
Ah, they are very badly burned. And with that, it is going to be... Is that your turn?
No.
Okay.
I am then going to... I'm going to move up to my parents.
Oh my god.
And that's my turn.
Okay. They're burnt corpses. Still smoldering.
Cremation is cheaper.
The first Fomorian warrior runs directly up towards you after you've just burned him with this brutal Burning Hand spell. And he's going to swing at you with his scimitar. That's going to be a 13 plus 5 to hit for 18 to hit.
On me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Okay. The second one is going to be an 11 plus 5, a 16 to hit.
That's a hit.
And with his dagger, the third one will be an 18 plus 5 for a 23 to hit.
What is wrong with you?
Okay. All right.
That's your brother. I've had enough of this.
I'll just kick his ass the next time I see him.
Oh,
you're going to take 2d6 plus 6 damage here for the scimitar hits. That's going to be 12 damage.
Okay.
And then you're going to take 1d4 plus 3 damage for the dagger hit. That's max damage for 7 more damage.
See, I had 10 HP.
Oh my god.
Okay. All right, Eric.
As the bodies of your enemies and your friends lay bloodied and still around the farm, you watch as the fire in the barn worsens and begins to catch to the ground, making its way to what's left of the crops. As your eyes shift from east to west, you see the bonfire of debris next to the den and below it the 2 bodies of Melinda and Leofwin Fluffybum. You see the trail of viscera that leads from the crop field and west to the lifeless bodies, laying, hands gripped tightly, in a pool of blood. In the obvious struggle, the 2 were both stabbed multiple times and left for dead. It's clear that Melinda crawled with the last of her strength to her partner and grabbed his hand for one last loving embrace. Those of you left standing see Cornelius' face twitch as he stares blankly at the tragedy before him and is struck down by the Fomorian.
Cornelius, as you fall, I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Fuck. That's only 11.
Okay.
As rage fills your mind, an entire life of memories of your parents flashes before your eyes. You feel a burning sensation beginning in your hands and moving up towards your chest. As you peer down, your entire body becomes engulfed in flames, growing with a furious carnage. You look to your hands, now burning like a 1,000 fires. You clench your fists as your vision falters. You let out a deafening scream as the fire surges from your body, unleashing a hellish explosion. You fall to your knees as your vision fades to black.
At this point, Dario, can you make me a dexterity saving throw, please?
It's my best saving throw.
I rolled an 8.
Okay. You take 30 damage, Dario.
Oh, that definitely knocks me out.
Dario, you fall unconscious. Nevlin, you see this all go down. Cornelius, as your vision fades to black,
you open your eyes on your hands and knees in a black void. As you stand to your feet, the space slowly takes shape and form. You watch as grass and flowers grow at exponential rates, like a time lapse before your very eyes. Trees take root and begin to shoot up into the sky as water seemingly bleeds from the nothingness, creating a beautiful, crystal clear pond. A large sitting stone appears before you, and an incredibly beautiful being materializes out of the darkness, dipping her toes in the water. Before you is the most beautiful place you have ever seen. The sheer beauty of the lush grass and the smell of the clean air brings tears to your eyes. The being raises her head, turns to you, and says,
Cornelius Fluffybum, long have I kept a keen eye on you. I've watched with pure intrigue, waiting for you to blossom. Within you lay the power to destroy, but also to create. All things must end, but the death of one brings birth to another. This is the design I created for this world such a long time ago. And you're very much a part of that. The way you take such special care of your surroundings, the earth beneath your feet, your goats, all of these things prolong the love that exists in this world.
And
but
my chicken.
You, oh, and your chicken. We cannot forget about your chicken. But unto you, a great tragedy has unfolded. What goats you have been separated. Your chicken's gone. The farm you grew up in now in flames. Your own home, not far from here, will surely perish in this fire. But most unfortunately, your own parents have been taken from you as a result of ill men. With no respect for this world that we live in, for this tragedy, I offer you this gift in good faith to compensate for your losses, though I wish this had never come to you.
Just off in the distance, a creature walks toward you out of the trees. A giant goat takes prideful steps as red flames flow off its body as if it were a lavish coat of hair. Stopping a few feet before you, it bends its knees inward, lowering its body and bowing its three horned heads at your feet.
This is Peter. He will wait here until you summon him to your plane of existence. He will serve you loyally, and I presume you will treat him with the same respect that you would treat your own. I wish you well in your journey, Cornelius Fluffybum. And remember, whether your path, vengeance for those lost, or a path of a world reborn, life or death, I will be here, loving you, unconditionally.
And
Wait, like, who are you? Are you my, like, fairy godmother?
I am the earth.
Oh.
I am the mother. I am the creator, whatever you would like to call me. I am.
Holy shit.
And she reaches out her hand toward you.
Oh, yeah, my hand's out.
And she moves your arm towards Pater's horn. Do you grab it?
Yeah.
Okay.
As you place your hand on the horn of Pater, he throws back his head, tossing you up in the air toward his torso. As you land on the back of this majestic beast, it takes off running and you snap back to reality.
You've got the touch!
Cornelius, you can now summon Pater once per day using both of your wild shapes. Pater uses the giant goat stat block, but has additional hit points equal to your druid level and otherwise functions the same as your wildfire spirit. Pater is mountable, and while you ride him, you have resistance to fire damage.
This is the greatest of all time.
So,
your eyes open and you regain your focus. Before you, most of your companions lay on the ground, surrounded by fire. Some only kissed by the flames, while others badly burnt and unconscious. As you rise to your feet, you come to realize that the entire farm is up in flames, fluttering through the wind and catching fire to the forest itself.
So at that blast, all of those enemies were killed. The Drake rolled a dex saving throw and managed to duck down and not take any damage from the flames. As Nevlin was too far away, the other three mages ran off after the blast had happened. So you guys are out of initiative, but everything is on fire around. Cornelius, you have been gifted 1 HP and stabilized, obviously, but you have some unconscious friends on the ground. Nevlin, Cornelius, how would you like to proceed?
First things first, well, I'm going to run straight to Gord, and I am going to chuck a potion of healing down his throat.
Okay, so...
And that's going to be 2d4 plus 2 for 10 hit points.
I'm up! And I bolt up into the... Like a corpse, you know, half my body rises up. I see the carnage in front of us, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And I run over to Dario and lay on hands him for 1 HP.
Okay.
Yeah, Nevlin's working on stabilizing Torque.
As soon as I come to, I mean, I can spare the dying, the other guys.
Okay. So Spud comes back to it after Dario and then Torque, and you guys are all... back up. What is your plan? What are you doing? The farm is literally like the ground is aflame. This is a wildfire and you are directly in the middle of it.
We need to grab my parents' body and go.
Okay. Are you going to run back to your place, Cornelius, to retrieve your other goats?
If the general consensus is that we have enough time...
It'll probably take you a couple rounds to get through the flames, but you could potentially run and get past the flames enough to get to your place to at least grab your goats and get them out of there. They will just be out in your pen, right, because you just sent them there, so they're not... You haven't been back.
Don't worry, Cornelius. I will grab one of your parents.
I'll get Cornelius' dad, Dario, and you get his mom, okay?
Dario and Torque, both please roll me a strength check.
Oh my god.
I got a 14.
Are you fucking kidding me? I rolled a nat 1. My strength is so high, too, so it's a 6.
Oh.
Can I use a point of inspiration?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I gotta do this for my buddy. 14.
Yeah, okay, you both managed to pick each one of Cornelius's parents up, and you guys make your way into, I guess, back the way you came out of the Eastern Forest.
Hey, Ty?
Yes.
I think while these guys have been doing all this, Nevlin has been looting corpses.
Okay, that's fair to say. It is very warm, though. Let's say we'll just
What's the melting point of gold?
Well, he would have been looting probably the Shatter Kai, who died closer to the south.
Okay, we're going to just roll a... you find 76 gold pieces.
It's tight.
And 10 daggers in total, if you want them.
I'm going to grab a couple of them.
And there's some scimitars as well from the Fomorians. But they're pretty, like, battered. They're just standard. Same with the daggers.
Cool.
So you guys are heading out of the forest?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make sure to grab my crossbow along the way.
And right. So does Torque.
And Spud also grabs his sword as you guys take off southward, southeast, rather, to get out of the forest.
I stop and I take one last look around.
Roll me perception.
18.
Yeah, you see a lot of fire, bro.
Gord comes up behind him, pats him on the shoulder, and says, "We gotta keep going, buddy."
Yeah, we do. I turn around and leave with Gord.
Okay, you guys head out and make your way out of the Eastern Forest. And as you come to the plains, what do you guys do, Cornelius?
I take off my goat shirt. And I dig up a small hole and I bury the shirt. And I stand up and put my cloak on and pull the hood over.
Okay, what are you guys doing with the dead bodies?
Nevlin, would you be able to excavate some dirt for us?
Yeah. Yeah, that's no problem. It's kind of a deep back. I got it to do.
You don't have to make it very deep. They're kind of falling apart already.
Torque, sometimes you just...
Nevlin digs a couple graves with...
Okay, so you use the mold earth and excavate out some soil to make two graves for Cornelius' parents. So you guys are all standing around after the soil has been put back down, and...
As the red sun begins to set, a soft rain falls overhead as a thick fog creeps eerily over the hills. As the fire in the East Forest begins to sizzle and smolder, the calmness of the Fae sets in over the party. Before Cornelius lay two mounds of earth where his parents lay for eternal rest, As tears stream down his face, he begins to sing.
Morning mist brings fresh beads of dew. The sun's warmth soon will follow. The scent of the blossoms, the songs of the birds, awaken us all in our hollow. The wind brings life to the trees as they sway. Water runs as free as our hearts. Fairies dance and the creatures they stir, and the shadow soon departs. Frolic through meadows of whispers and wheat, let the blue skies above guide our path. As one with Gaia, the heron gone thrive, travel yonder, sing song of our myth. From the hills high above to the valleys below, beneath the mother tree silhouette, follow the path that leads you home as the sun begins to set. Flora and fauna rest their precious eyes within the woodlands deep. Let the candles fade away. Close your eyes. It's time to sleep.
And that's where we're ending the episode.